Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Product Chat. They do the Woo Podcast Show. Woo! Woo! The Woo Product Chat Show is brought to you by Cloudways, where their managed cloud hosting gives you assurance that you or your client's hosted site is fast, secure, and backed by 24/7 support. Later on in the show, I'll tell you more about Cloudways.
Welcome to another episode of Do the Woo. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Wold, and with me today is your other co-host, Tammy Lister. Tammy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am excellent. Excited to be doing the Woo once again. And we are joined today by Nate Stewart. He is the SVP of Platform Strategy at BigCommerce. Nate, welcome.
Hi, happy to be here.
And where in the world are you joining us from today?
In Puerto Rico.
How's the climate in Puerto Rico this time of year?
It's great. You know, we just had the hurricane pass through and pushed a little bit of the humidity out. Now it's back to normal. Everything's fine here. But other than that, it's nice, beautiful.
Excellent. So Nate, you are not a stranger to the show. It's just over 4 years ago, episode 64, you were a guest on Do the Woo. A lot has happened since. What are you working on at BigCommerce these days?
So I'm working on, believe it or not, some of the same things we talked about, just in more kind of elevated forms. Like, I think a lot of what we talked about last time was more of an ambition to support openness and like bring open into the core of BigCommerce. Like around that time, we talked a lot about how we're open SaaS. Like, we want to be the open SaaS commerce platform, the leader. And that was more of a future focused kind of where we want, you know, to sit in the market, what we want to support. Now, a lot of that is reality. You know, we've invested multiple years into making that true. And that changes a lot, I think, in a good way, of how we work with the WordPress ecosystem, how we work with pretty much everybody's way of working. You know, we want to feel like you enjoy and love and cherish a lot of different platforms and technologies and, you know, ways of working. And we want to be the platform that you feel at home, because we trust that you have good taste and you like what you like because it has value. So yeah, all that has kind of become true. And I'm really just making sure we get the most value ourselves and everyone else with that strategy.
It's been great to watch over the years too, is that you were talking about that then, and there were some hints of it, but BigCommerce is like the public position, because you're of course a public company. It's a whole other game to be talking like publicly about this open SaaS strategy, and it takes time to sort of carry this out. So it's interesting to see that it's like we had that four years ago. You were talking about it now. You have a lot more evidence that you can point to of it. And your investment in the WordPress ecosystem is how many, like, is it 5+ years now that you've been in this space? Before we had you on the show, you'd already been at it for a while.
Yeah, I think it definitely, in terms of when the first couple like WordCamps and, you know, the big and small, we were doing research and meeting the community, that was like 6-7 years ago. Like, it took some time to build the plugin. But a lot of that was just coming from, at the time, we had hundreds and hundreds of merchants that already had WordPress running alongside their BigCommerce store. And it's like, wait a minute, like, where does this data take us if we keep going? So that led us into the community. And then, I mean, myself, I kind of fell in love with just how it felt like, almost what it felt like as I learned the web and grew into the person I am. Like, I was like, oh, this feels like true to who I am as well. And I think that's just part of why I really fight to stick in any ecosystem where there's that like truth there and it resonates with people. It's not just like a bunch of corporate marketing. It's like there's value beyond it. So yeah, that's like 6-7 years ago. It feels a totally different world than 6-7 years ago. But a lot of what stayed the same is kind of what I'm talking about, you know, what at work and in the communities I'm focused on.
So this is a WooCommerce focused podcast, right? And one of the things that that I've liked about BigCommerce from the beginning is that you didn't have this like anti, you weren't like competing against WooCommerce. But there's this, but perception and reality are two different things. And I think early on, a lot of folks, like you had a product, your first plugin, for instance, was focused on more of this small business use case where BigCommerce, well, let's start with this. Like, how do you think about the WooCommerce ecosystem? Like, because you have competitors in the space, you compete with Shopify and other proprietary platforms, but with this open SaaS strategy, like, how is it that you think about WooCommerce?
Yeah, I think about it as a major part of the journey for businesses and merchants, like looking to like easily make their vision reality. Like, you don't start by coming onto a platform like BigCommerce and using every feature. You know, like, you start many times by your marketing presence. You start with, like, a lot of times with what you know. Like, some people, they're blogging already in WordPress and like they want to create a business, and like it makes perfect sense to start there. So Woo is the first place that I feel most people should look because it's so well supported, and it's just like the, you know, kind of the default for that place. But then it's a journey, right? So at which part of the journey does either WordPress or WooCommerce hit a little bit of a snag, where at that point you're like, wait a minute, I need to get out of WordPress, get out of Woo. Like, I don't think that's a positive decision. It shouldn't be binary. It should be, hey, what part is it working, and how do you retain everything you put into it and add on, you know, for the next level of your growth? So that's kind of the way I feel about Woo. I have a lot of respect for Woo. I feel a lot of really smart agencies and developers that are creating really cool experiences in Woo. Like, I like seeing that. You know, I just like seeing innovation in the space because it's open source. You can do that.
And I think the key for me lies in that open SaaS strategy, because we're no strangers to proprietary platforms that work within our space. Like Jetpack and other products like it are proprietary in the SaaS component, but like are all in on the WordPress ecosystem. Whereas other platforms like Shopify, it's very zero sum, right? Like, they want everything is there. It's like you're choosing Shopify, you're also doing the CMS and everything. And I think that's what stood out to me the most about the approach that you guys have taken of embracing, like, you choose. You want to use WordPress, you want to use WooCommerce, like, that's fantastic. We're here to support you. And I think what's made it clearer, and you tell me, Nate, is as the years have gone on, your emphasis on the enterprise has made a lot of that a lot more straightforward. Whereas early on, it was like there was more of an overlay, because you started out as a small business focused platform, and that enterprise shift has taken a number of years to get to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I believe we're on the 15th year of BigCommerce being like the name of the company. The backstory is, a couple years before that, it was actually like you got the code and you ran it yourself back in the day. And it evolved into a SaaS platform, right? And that was because early days e-com, it actually was much harder to scale and support by, you know, much greater, like I don't know, let's say 10x. I don't know the exact thing, but it just, you wanted, people were reaching out going, I love this, but I want it hosted for me. And now hosting another tech has made it to where it's less of it's more fuzzy between open and SaaS. And I think it's kind of part of our journey. So we went from like that, the code, to SaaS. It was SMB only because in the beginning e-com days, we didn't have all the advanced features we had there, right? Like it was, you build a cart, you build catalog, you build all those pieces. But over the many years, you get into where the people that need the most help with their architecture and their functionality, they need way more complex features. And you naturally get into mid-market and then enterprise. So we've kind of been on that journey. And because we've invested in the open strategy a while ago, it bodes well for enterprise, like really well. Typically, that's what you see in any software kind of platform landscape, is the more enterprise, the more APIs they have, the more ecosystem. And it's whether you want to get locked in to, I would almost say, closed suite versus open suite. You see a lot of those strategies in different industries play out. We are more of the open suite. You know, we want to make it easy to package. And that includes, like, you want to use WordPress and you want to use Woo in a different part of our kind of product catalog, if you will, like our suite. we want to open up pathways to that for the enterprise where, and even before that, to where it's not, again, it's not a binary decision. It's what's best for you as you are growing.
And I think a good example of that to me, and we can touch on it more later, is you have products that people don't know about, like Feedonomics, that like has WooCommerce support like built into it. Like it's a product that's focused on like your product feeds out to the various endpoints, and you could use WooCommerce in that. It's a BigCommerce product. The last question I have for you on this topic before we switch gears. So WooCommerce has a mission to democratize commerce, and that which is connected to the WordPress mission to democratize publishing, right? And I think I'd love to hear your thoughts on like what role that you see BigCommerce playing in supporting that mission. Like, how do you think about that mission?
Yeah, one that it kind of echoes that 6-7 years ago when I was kind of indoctrinated in the community. The whole 51%, I think, is maybe the clearest way we help. Like, to get to 51% of the web, which much of that is commerce. When you actually look at like the longstanding site, I think right now what happens, the trend I've seen is when you start in WordPress, you layer on WooCommerce, and then when you hit that decision point of maybe it's not, you know, as fast as I wanted, or it's getting complex for the different plugins, and you know the agencies I'm working with are like quoting that I should migrate off to something else. It's at that point where if we make it easier to just up-level the pieces of your kind of, let's say, your WordPress stack to keep you on WordPress as you evolve, then both WordPress and many times Woo benefit from that. And that's how you get to the 51% and more, is you find those strategies in the WordPress community to where there's partners like us that go, hey, let's keep that stat. Let's keep building it together. So I want to see a world where WordPress goes beyond 51% and we are a part of that journey and celebrating together, and knowing that we're talking about a journey here. We're not talking about like a one-off decision you make when you have a new problem.
So I'd really like to kind of move us from that. And you mentioned the kind of the toolkit, the suite, and kind of we looked at how we have this kind of Woo. I want to consider the space for commerce and builders. You mentioned this suite. What has been the most exciting things to explore and experiment from product-wise lately? You mentioned layers and complexities, but what does that feel like building in, and how have you been kind of exploring and building in that? What have you been exploring and building in that even? That's a big question.
One of the things that I mentioned earlier, we had hundreds of merchants back in the day, which led us in the direction that we're using WordPress kind of on the side, meaning they have like their site and then a shop dot. You know, we're now, because of the plugin, but also because of things like headless and like composability and all, like people are, it's more nuanced than that. And now with the Gutenberg editor, it's been this way for a while. You have like blocks and whatnot. You can go, wait, what if, you know, if you already have your like marketing site, it's up there and you want to layer on commerce and you're already closer to like the mid-market enterprise, right? Because you maybe have a big B2B business and you're going to B2C. So you're already at kind of like scale with complexity. I've been plugging with the team a little bit around how would we integrate Gutenberg and the existing stuff that you have. You made a decision with like your theme and your blocks into our open source storefront framework that we built called Catalyst. And that way, like you get to retain what you built on WordPress and via the Gutenberg kind of standard blocks. So to me, one of the interesting things here is how this is an area I'd like together to work more with people to solve. Blocks are like almost there. The API, it feels in any like the WP GraphQL and the rest of it, you can get to the point where it feels like it should work 100%, but you run into issues in actual live implementations where, okay, there's not really a standard where you can go from WordPress React into like static, or into now with like Next.js and the newest like App Router React Server components, how you like transition from, I get this block, it's a form plugin, I have this type of React running on my headless instance, how do I make it work to where on the front end of the editor, it works, I'm in WordPress. I want that to look and feel the same way. So that actually gets very complex very quickly. And I think whoever works in solving that problem, where we can get there together, will radically improve how people are using Gutenberg, how we work through this, like these migration strategies that don't push you off of WordPress and off of Woo, but they go like, hey, this block worked well for you here. This block is not performant. Well, like, should we go headless? Should we just replace that block? And anyway, so I've been plugging away with the team about that, working with several different agencies in this space to go, what's your opinion? And yeah, there's a lot there. I think Gutenberg really cool. And personally, even like on the weekend, I'm hacking around. Occasionally you might see me going like, what's the new thing? And but it's funny how, I mean, it's been years since it was released and some of those pain points are still there, right? So we have to ask ourselves, why are they, if they're migrating out because we don't know how to use blocks, that's not even a core commerce thing. That's just like in general, I think that more could be done there.
I like how you're kind of touching on it by what you're saying, which is you don't find those, I always call them stress cases, not edge cases, because they cause you stress when you hit them. rather than them being edge cases, because they might only be for one person, but it could be really important that one person hits them by the experimentation. So I think one of the answers, and it's one of many, is people haven't maybe explored some of these combinations. So that's what really, for me personally, and I think a lot of people are curious by these experiments that you're doing. But I'd love, what are, you know, in what you've been creating in your own experiments and or in this, how have you discovered this to be uniquely different to build in this space? Because it is a little bit uniquely different, these stacks. Like you've kind of shared about the complexities and the layers, but there is, it kind of is shifting sands a little bit in places. But what are some of the other differences that you've kind of thought about as you're kind of creating in these spaces?
I think one that, again, this is more of kind of been a background thought the whole time. One decision we made early on was to do it 100% the WordPress way. And we, you know, everything being in the community and the research and all the agencies and builders we talked to are like, there's the WordPress way. You build the template, you know, it's like it's like PHP, all of that. Like Gutenberg was happening as that, but no one really, it's almost like people didn't want it to succeed. It was a very weird feeling, but we got over that hump, I think, overall as a community. But during that early, you're talking like 6 years ago plus, that WordPress way kind of limited us in terms of what Gutenberg was really trying to accomplish, which is being more, a little bit more modular, being more JavaScript forward, React forward. So now I have this, again, it's a background thought of, instead of, you know, the plugin being like the WordPress way and templates being more components by default of, it's really just React as the page loads, reading out from an API. And yes, there's a downside to, you know, you don't have things in the table and, you know, the options table and other aspects. And it, there's maybe a, like a loading artifact a little bit there, where, you know, the page loads and then it reads the data. But the benefit is you actually are fully compatible with the static hosting kind of trend that's happening in the WordPress space and just overall web development in general. And it actually forces you to polish your API on your other end a lot better. You're making sure the caching and just performance in general is better at the API. So I feel it as a platform that is integrating, that mode makes you make your product better for everyone by integrating that way. So I think I've had that thought come up a lot. The downside is there's effort there to change, you know, and there's also feedback from the community where there are, you know, millions of people that like that they love the WordPress way, which anyways, there's the thought there. And what does the WordPress way even mean anymore? I've had this thought of, isn't it Gutenberg? Isn't it blocks? Isn't it so... Yeah, all that.
I think it's fascinating that the WordPress way, maybe it should be adapting. Maybe the whole point about the WordPress way is that it isn't a fixed way. And we maybe thought it was like and it wasn't chiseled. I think this is like such a fascinating discussion.
As a product builder, whether you are just starting out or already selling to the ecosystem of site builders, having the assurance of your own hosted site that is fast, secure, and backed by 24/7 support is important to you. Managed cloud hosting from Cloudways gives you a fully optimized stack with built-in advanced cache and CDN to boost performance. And to make sure you have the right tools, you can find the most popular apps that you can host on those top-rated cloud hosting providers that will give you the ability to scale your servers when peak traffic season demands growth for your product or service. With all of that and affordable hosting costs, why not head over to cloudways.com and find the right plan for your business?
I want to skip back a couple of speeds to what something you were saying, because you very clearly have an understanding of builders, and you very clearly have an understanding both from your own tinkering, I love that word, and exploring. So that translates into what is being created. And I think that that is incredibly important when you're creating these suites and you're trying to also create tools. So can you explain a little bit more how that translates into the products that you're offering as well? Because I think there's something in there as well. Like we've been talking about, I'm getting super excited about the API and the experiments, but how does that then translate into the products?
So I think, well, one, we're really in this multi-product territory now. You know, so I think you can't be truly open if the only way to get value is to combine everything the same way every time. You know, because that's not open, that becomes, that's you know, just closed in general, like enter the walled garden. And so I think what we've evolved over the years is formally, you know, we've made acquisitions as a company. You know, we mentioned Feedonomics. They're doing very well and outside of the BC ecosystem as well as in. So they actively support all of our competitors, all our commerce competitors. When you go to Feedonomics.com, it's very hard to find, like there's no, you know, a big commerce company and all that. Like it's very much its own product offering that, because we're underneath the same umbrella, we work under the same constraints of, okay, well, when we need to ship a feature and it's using their technology, we build like a partner would, right? We don't have like internal things that are cheating. And again, like that helps everyone and helps us keep an honest, open strategy. And that's why Woo fits in into our strategy there in a big way. Like they have many, many large WooCommerce customers, and they have kept them on Woo and WordPress. And that's okay, because that product still grows our business. And let's be honest, it's easier to keep people happy if you don't go into their house and be like, everything terrible. You go in and be like, I mean, you can make comments, you know, I'm like, you know, the couch, you know, this is a new couch. Is that real? That doesn't feel good. Like, but you know, you don't be like, move, but I'd be, they like their community. Right. So another example of this is Makeswift, and they're a recent acquisition. Again, they're an independent company. Still is like Feedonomics. We, you know, will be using their product. We talked a little bit about in the past 6 months, but they're a visual editor for Catalyst and our next gen storefront. However, if you want to use Makeswift with WordPress, with WooCommerce, with any of our commerce competitors, they're like, again, they don't become a competitor, because it's fine. You like Makeswift, you're not ready for BigCommerce. You've invested a lot in your current stack, but whatever. Now, there are very interesting things with that one, because like using with Makeswift, it is composable by nature. It is built from the ground up to support the latest in React, React server components, all that, where Gutenberg is more of it's the default. It is React, and it is like kind of the new way we're talking about. But because its APIs and all aren't, and the support and ecosystem aren't consistent, you technically could use the Gutenberg API in the Makeswift visual editor and actually get the development flow like you want, while still retaining, like, you know, the word, it's almost WordPress as, and Jonathan, you said in the past, as the operating system. It has the API. So anyway, there's just all these interesting things that can happen when we're multi-product. We're not single platform where you buy it as a product. So I think that's one of the ways that we enable builders in a different way. And each of those separate products have different APIs and different ways you can utilize them.
So one of the big switches over the past couple of years has been this increasing emphasis on enterprise, right? Like that's the transition that you've been making. Multi-product is a good example of like how you carry out that promise. You're giving flexibility, especially in the enterprise, that flexibility matters. They may have policies for using this or that, or they want just a piece of it. So that's a good example. Let's talk about enterprise more and start with this. Like, how do you define like enterprise? What is that definition within the BigCommerce context?
Yeah, for us, the way we define enterprise is more of, it's like the size of their, like their annual revenue, their employee count. Like this is kind of blend, and they're opting in to being a part of our enterprise, like kind of plan. And it's a little bit nuanced because typically you have a lot of platforms like products out there that are like, we're enterprise or not. And they come in and it's like, okay, well, they have to be at, you know, 100 million in annual rev, and they have to be like XYZ. And I think what we've found is that you could have someone that has a tremendous amount of revenue and they are very efficient because of the type of product they sell. And there's DIYers and a lot of like kind of owner operators, if you will. And I actually believe there's a lot of those that are in the WordPress ecosystem. It's like known for that. Like people, I'll do it myself. And I actually know how to like code and design and operate it. But that means like, why should they always pay the price for all the complexity of enterprise when they actually can handle a lot themselves? So what they're taking on, to be honest, is they might pay us a little bit less where they're not like super enterprise, but they're paying more in other ways that other people might not be able to pay, which means they're putting in the blood, sweat, and tears to code themselves and design and whatnot. But again, like that persona is, while they might appear more mid-market in terms of how they're you know, their plan type for us or like how they're using it, they are an enterprise in revenue. And so we like to make it like a real conversation with the brands we serve and everyone involved, like kind of, where do you want the complexity to be? Because at the upper level, like we handle a lot. Like once you get to enterprise, you're on enterprise plan, like we handhold a lot more. We're a lot more with you, helping you build, having, you know, up to the point to where you have dedicated people at certain levels of building your business. So some people might look at that and say, yeah, I know I'm generating a lot of revenue, but like, I kind of don't need that level. My personal opinion is everybody needs help, and it's going to make you sleep better at night when you have somebody in your corner. But again, that openness goes into, well, let's have a conversation. So it's a little bit of a fuzzy line for a mid-market enterprise. But high level, I mean, you're talking like 50 million GMV, you know, plus 25, like around that territory, very clearly enterprise. It's very rare for someone to opt out of that.
This is where I get excited. Like looking at this through the WooCommerce lens, one of the risks that we've seen over the past couple of years is people grow in WooCommerce, they like WooCommerce, they like WordPress, and then they start to hit the edges. And there's been some great work on agencies, many of them coming onto the show, who've pushed the edges of WooCommerce and have innovated and figured out ways to like make it scale further. And there's also this feeling like it wasn't designed for that. It's an SMB-focused tool. While there's a lot of room for growth, one of the things that I've been intrigued about and been hoping to see more of is, what does it look like to bring that enterprise capability from other players into the WooCommerce space? I think Feedonomics is a good example of that. And would love to just hear more about how you think about that. Like, how can we, in the WooCommerce space, more successfully bring in enterprise capability? And my hypothesis is that we can't do it by just changing the core product, because we have millions of store owners that count on that SMB like approach that WooCommerce has taken. So it's that's the question is like, right now, when people hit a certain point on WooCommerce and start to feel the edges, I think there's a churn risk that we're seeing where people are feeling like they just have to leave entirely. And my hypothesis is that doesn't have to be the case. And that's where I see this opportunity with partners like BigCommerce being able to augment. Like, how do you think about that? What would that look like practically?
Yeah, I think practically, I mean, this is one case where being multi-product and kind of having these independent companies that think about each ecosystem, like they understand the APIs and of separately. They're not like filtering it through the BigCommerce lens. It means there's like Feedonomics team, the product knows how WooCommerce works, has a dedicated integration with them, and has been through this process day in, day out of someone calling up going, hey, my sync, like I have these plugins that are for my sales channels or for my advertising channels. And I'm getting to the point where like it's slowing down my site, or I don't know how to support adding anymore. Like I want to add like 5 more channels. Like keep in mind, like Feedonomics supports like 300 plus, maybe 400 plus, like a lot, hundreds of sales channels. When things happen, like Target, you know, has a marketplace, like you'll hear our like competitors make big announcements about it. But the reality is because Feedonomics is wholly dedicated to that, they're working with Target and a lot of other marketplaces as like the alpha of when they release functionality. So there's a huge benefit to going, all right, I don't need to change WooCommerce at all. I'm already selling on sales channels. Let me get like an easier to maintain site and way more sales channels that. But again, you have to kind of make that choice yourself, like or an agency or developer working with a merchant. There is a cost, of course. Like it is it's an open SaaS platform, but it is a SaaS platform, right? So it's a transition from free plugin that I just have to pay someone to maintain or keep up with updates. It's that cost transitioning into dollar cost, but you get the time back and kind of peace of mind. So it's really that type of process. And again, that's why enterprise comes in. You know, people coming in from like, let's say they have, I don't know, even a million in GMV, like annual revenue. That's probably not something that Feedonomics power of it is necessary for. You know, like you really can just optimize Woo and the sales channels. But if you have questions like, I have, you know, 3 million in revenue, like I'm starting to grow faster than I can update. And I have ideas and our ambition to go into 10 more channels. Like even if your site is working, if you can't rapidly add 5, 10, 50, like advertising, sales, whatnot, and that's your ambition, like that's when the right time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To talk. So again, it's the journey. We talk a lot about the right journey and the merchant journey and having the right time, right place, rather than going, there's one solution that fits everyone.
I'm going to kind of pivot towards the end and imagine we're kind of dreaming a little bit. We spoke about like the 4 years, but panning away from specific products, there's so much going on in this space, so many emerging trends, technologies. Let's just think initially for commerce builders, what should you be keeping an eye on if you're building in this space in the now and then just maybe the next year? And then we can kind of get a bit dreamy after that.
Like I think I've actually seen a lot of different podcasts and kind of articles about this topic in the space recently, Static. And again, I talked kind of about how does Gutenberg like in the WordPress ecosystem play with that. And not Static is just the end goal, because why not? It's fast and we should do it. More of, I think that's a net that will improve WordPress as a platform and other platforms integrating with it. If you think about what is the right separation of concerns and how does the technology enable both approaches cleanly? So as a builder going, all right, so I'm building in a way that works for WordPress and it's in out of the box state and WooCommerce is out of the box state. Well, what happened as X, you know, like part of the journey app? It's okay, someone wants to go static. They want to use the Next.js. They want to, is what you built cleanly able to support that? So thinking about an architecture and designs of APIs and all that kind of support both, It's better for everyone. Better, it'll more opportunity for you as a builder. It's better for the end user because, again, they're more likely to stay in the WordPress ecosystem with what they built before because it can be kind of translated into what's next. A lot of what I'm talking about, like we think deeply about like composability and all is almost a part of everything, you know, strategically that we've worked on recently and will work on in the future because of that reason.
Yeah, I definitely align to that. I think all too often before it was generally just like ticking commas, what does the front look like? And how did the transactions happen there? But now it's kind of flipped in that sense. I'm going to kind of flip that question though as well. Segue. What buzzwords or tech should commerce creators avoid? Because I think there's so much, as you were saying, there's like podcasts. And it can be really easy to be distracting or like pile like your feature set too high so that you then get problems. This is very English, but what makes your eye roll when you hear about like someone adding and they're like, you don't need to add that. It's not going to work. It's not going to help someone.
Yeah, I definitely think my eye rolls a bit when it's AI without purpose. I think that's kind of a softball question, I think, because a lot of people might say that. But what I mean with AI without purpose is if you're chasing a perceptual win where it's like, hey, you know, I can have a chat interface here, or look, you could technically ask it to do a theme and it does it. I feel like that's removing like research and analysis and understanding of the user from it. You know, that's just trying to achieve an end goal. And almost like what I said about static, don't do static just because like you hear a podcast about static, like do it because you understand the value of being able to transfer from one type of architecture to another, right? And that changes how you build your thing. So AI that has a purpose, like, okay, we've researched exactly how people are using our themes or integrating different, you know, APIs, and we have a focused use of AI that's tailor-made to accomplish that task or series of tasks or you know, use case faster. That's awesome. It's just, I see a lot of kind of people just layering it on and like, what, who's going to use that to like, especially in business, like a merchant, like layering on rando AI chat stuff. Like one, is it better than ChatGPT? So what are you just trying to get like a brand for yourself, like as a builder, which I'm not discounting, you know, some people that's great early on in your career to like write up something and create and be like, hey, look at me. I know how to like hit API or APIs for AI. But the reality is, does it make someone's life better? And if it's just like kind of cool a toy, but it doesn't make it better. So I think that's the difference. And to be honest, I'm not saying I know the answer perfectly. Like I had to look in the mirror and eye roll myself if I'm heading down like, but if we just layered AI on top of that, I mean, we're all capable of running into that. Like peril, right? Of all I need to do is layer X feature on or tech and it will solve my entire business.
I would kind of plus one so much. Like, I think it is just so easy to AI is like that thing. Is it a workflow? Is it AI as well as also that thing? And does it get a hurdle? Okay. The last question I'm going to ask here though is it kind of segues the end of this. For your 4 years from now, you've come back on the podcast. What do you hope that you have seen? It feels an inevitable one if we're talking about the future to kind of like give my last question if we're talking about the future.
I would say there's a million viewers or like listeners of this podcast, and we're in a, you invite me back for some like tropical villa special edition thing. I know that has nothing to do with technology. I'm just trying to put out some optimism and like, you know, I don't know, like, let the universe make it happen.
I think Bob's been talking about that, like putting us, starting to take the host and just putting us up. I think we're going to get there. Please carry on.
Thank you, Bob. Like if you do it in a year.
Bob, I'd like some puppies if we're doing that. That's fine.
I'm trying to think about like 4 years. I feel kind of echo back on being able to celebrate together, kind of getting WordPress. I don't want to say modernize WordPress because I think WordPress is, people don't give enough credit for modernizing as it goes. And I actually think a lot of the things, like I think a lot of people have learned from Gutenberg without admitting it in other ecosystems. So I don't, modernize is the wrong word, but it's more, yeah, the perceptual, like I think switching, you know, what people feel that are in the community and in an internal perception of, hey, like we have modernized, we've been through the pain of like bleeding edge, like trying to learn this stuff and into the rest of the planet, by default going, okay, a WordPress is in your stack. That's great for these areas. And like having a real conversation around it, almost like leveling the playing field with what you see in like headless CMS, where, you know, a lot of people had for years been using WordPress as a headless CMS, but it, because the, we're not talking about, again, this full journey of, it's like, which, where are you using it with other parts of technology to get the most out of WordPress, out of WooCommerce at that stage? So if in 4 years we're having not binary conversations, but real conversations around that, and we've done the technology work, you know, everyone, that's better, right? And that's how you get to over 51% and beyond. And it just almost becomes like, it's not like WordPress, it could be, and again, I'm ripping off the Jonathan, the WordPress is an OS, but you think about Windows, you think about Mac, you think about iOS, like all those different things. And it's close there now, but these things have to be solved to know how you interop and have all the standards where it doesn't have to be like every use case is in WordPress for WordPress to win at every stage of the journey. It has to be like, where can you hook in and out and get the most out of WordPress? It almost becomes utility like an operating system long-term. So if in 4 years, that's happening, quite frankly, there'll be so many more people using WordPress actively that we probably will be in a tropical villa for that episode, because it'll just be so much new, you know, ideas and innovation there. So yeah, I mean, hope to be a little bit of part of that journey.
It's interesting because we've been on this trajectory for a long time. Like Gutenberg, it is interesting to look back now and, you know, that at the time, like there was a lot of like, I would argue that the work that like Tammy and many others have done on that transition was in fact like the WordPress way. Even like what we see today with themes, and it's like that we added all this complexity to themes in the WordPress space, and now we're getting back to like a kind of how it was originally, and things are getting simpler again. It takes a long time though. And this vision of WordPress, like as an operating system for like, creating on the open web, I think we're seeing it play out more and more. And e-commerce is a great example of people like building, say, hey, I can create on the web. I want to add business into this context. And I really appreciate the work that you guys have been doing at BigCommerce to recognize and be a part of that. That open SaaS strategy fits really well into that. Like what we see in the future is WordPress just being a ubiquitous part of a stack and being a foundation that people can feel like, hey, I own this. This is something that's good. It takes a long time though to catch up and bring that parity that features and ways of doing things that builders need to be able to create confidently on it. Right now, it's the people who really believe that are like making it happen. And that includes folks like yourselves investing into the space. So thank you for that. And I look forward to seeing what the next 4 years brings. Nate, if anyone wants to connect with you further or learn more about what you guys are working on, what's the best way to get in touch?
Well, on LinkedIn, you know, Nate.Stewart, search for that. Also, Nate.Stewart@bigcommerce.com. Feel free to email me. The rest of the socials, I'm not really on Insta randomly, taking pictures. I missed that whole, you know, kind of thing. Definitely missed TikTok. I have a account on now X, but I probably won't actively respond. So yeah, LinkedIn, email. We also have our developer community. If you are a builder and you go in there and ping me, it's a like a kind of a private community that anybody's free to join. But you go to developer.bigcommerce.com and go to the community section. But that's, we actually have a WordPress kind of channel there that you could join in. I would love to see more people talking about how they're using WordPress in our community, or if you just reach out personally. And like I said, we're working with a couple agencies and leaders in the space just to think about like, what is the future here? And the more voices we have that are stress testing that, the better it is.
Excellent. And we'll also look forward to seeing you at future WordCamps as well. That'll be great. So, Nate, thanks for coming on, and talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Bob WP here, and I'd like to thank Cloudways for their support. Please consider checking them out at cloudways.com. And thanks again for tuning into Woo Product Chat. If you're not subscribed, visit dothewoo.io/subscribe or find us on your favorite pod player. And remember, you can subscribe to any of our shows directly or hear them all on our full Do The Woo channel feed. And lastly, we welcome your thoughts, insights, and feedback on all of our episodes. Just head over to dothewoo.io and leave a comment. Until next time.